Okay, shalom. We're in Piskatet, the ninth paragraph of chapter 2, Bamei Madlikin, in Rav Kook's commentary in Einaya, on the Agadata. And last week, we dealt with the Gemara's question, Mai Chanukah? What's Chanukah? And Rav Kook very nicely deduced that the Gemara didn't ask, what do we commemorate on Chanukah, but what is the name Chanukah? Explain the difference between Chinuch, education, which is a constant present, it's in the present, chinuch, as opposed to Chanukah or Chanukat Habayit, the dedicated would be the best translation, which is something in the past. But as we saw, Yerushalayim had everything, all of its future goodness and holiness was there already from the beginning. Okay, and we'll touch on that a little today also. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Mai Chanukah, Detanu Rabbanan, B'chafhei B'Kislev, on the 25th day of Kislev, Yomei D'Chanukah Tamnia Inun. The days of Chanukah are eight. And Rav Kook is going to beautifully deal with this interesting wording. The days of Chanukah are eight. That the obvious question is, most holidays go around the number seven, right? From the Torah, Shavuot is, we'll start with Sukkot, 7 days, and then Shmini Atzeret is another holiday regarding many issues. Pesach is 7 days, and then we count 7 weeks, and seven times seven, and the kids are the day, the week is seven. So that's the first thing Rav Kook says. Let's see it inside. Haschum haragil lekef shalem, the usual number of a cycle, of a complete cycle, hu shavua shel shiv'a yamim, is the week of 7 days. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari interestingly points out that one of his proofs that the world was created and that all of the human beings in the world, even those in far off Australia, the Aborigines, all stem from Adam Rishon, from Adam. And one of his proofs is that everywhere in the world, mankind counts a week of 7 days. Even before man knew about each other, they come to a new country and they find it 7 days. Interesting, the Kuzari mentions that there are two points. It says everybody counts on base 10 and they count the base of the week on base 7. Now, the base 10, it's not such a strong proof, because if anybody would ask me to take an educated guess, how would we count? You have 10 fingers, and so that's when you move to the tens digits. But the number 7, really, there aren't 7 fingers, and where does that come from? And so Rav Kook says...
Did everybody have that, though, prehistorically, in places that were not connected to the biblical...
I'll give you some homework, and you can check it out. I know the Kuzari says so, but as an anthropologist, check out with Margaret Mead or Omnam. Hatachlit shel kol nizgav u'kedushat shem Hashem v'chifzo hatov ba'olam yigale rak lizman ha'atid she'elav ponot kol ha'kedushot. The world as we know it now, the nature, the cycle is based on seven. Also, we should point out the Shiva Yemei Tara, the 7 clean days of somebody who comes in contact with a dead person or a woman who's a Nida. The cycle of 7 is a common cycle that we know. But La'atid, in the future, there's going to be that 7 plus 1, which we already have today. That's the idea of the Brit Milah, where we take the body in its natural form. Again, nature is 7, there's the base 7. And you perfect the body, do the circumcision, you bring on the eighth day, you bring it up a step. That's the idea of the Yovel, where you have the 7 weeks, and then 7 times 7, and then the 7 years, and then the 50th year. Okay, Shavuot, 7 times 7, and then the 50th. Whereas the idea of getting the Torah on the 50th, the Torah is one above the natural cycle. Okay? Shmini Atzeret also, in Kabbalah, there's this idea, like the Brit Milah, it's one above the natural cycle. Shavuot, by the way, is also called Atzeret. It's the Atzeret of Pesach. Okay, that the eighth after the seven times seven. Okay, so the eight, number eight, is one above nature. The Maharal, and everybody knows Rav Kook bases a lot of his thought on the Maharal. He writes in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah about Chanukah that Sheva, seven, is from the word Saveya, which means satisfied, satiated. It's something which is complete. But what is even more than Saveya is Shamein. Something which is even more than complete is someone whose Shamein is literally fat. It's even more than that. And that's how the Maharal explains the idea of Shmone and Chashmonaim. Chet is eight. The Maccabees are called Chashmonaim, which is eight of the eight. Eight times eight. Chet, Shmone, Chashmonaim.
Where does the name come from, by the way, originally, Chashmonaim?
I don't know. You have a lot of homework for next week, Sean. Okay. Omnam. Okay, so again, seven is the natural day of the complete cycle of nature. But when we look forward ahead, she'elu ponot kol hakedushot, that all of the holiness will be on an even higher level. Omnam, gam bezman ahoveh, even in the present, koach ha'atid nigla echu holechu ba, the power of the future appears little by little in the present. Right? The world doesn't go through big zbangs. All changes are slow but sure. Kachi Geulatan Shel Yisrael, the famous Yerushalmi in Brachot, that the redemption of Israel is like the Ayelet HaShachar, the rising of the sun, slowly but surely. V'zei gale al yedei gilgulehem shel Yisrael haniflaim. The miracles that happen to the nation of Israel, we can see that there is a power above nature, me'al hateva, that eight which is above the seven. That is the al hanisim that we commemorate on Chanukah. The al hanisim, where God appears within the natural world. It's not in a big zbang of a upheaval of a sudden sunlight, but little he'arot, little enlightenments, of a little more and more light. And notice the whole time, this piska, Rav Kook is talking about also the number eight, and also those lights, the light of the future. Okay? Shelule, again, v'ze yigale, all of the holiness in the future, yigale is going to, it appears, even in the present, al yedei gilgulehem shel Yisrael aniflaim, through the miraculous history of Israel. Shelulei tachlita atid anizgav in poter lechidat olamim zot. Were it not for looking ahead towards the future, that miraculous future, we would not be able to understand the phenomena, the miraculous phenomena of Am Yisrael in the present. In other words, the light of the future, that seven plus, is seen in the world through the history of the Jewish people in different generations. And that's how the future light, little by little, appears. This idea of God appearing through history is a common thing in Rav Kook, and it's a common theme in the Kuzari. Right? We all remember when the king of the Khazars asks the rabbi, who is the Jewish God? And as opposed to the Muslim and the Christian, he doesn't say, well, we believe in the God who created the world. He starts with, we believe in the God who took us out of Egypt. And he says, well, God himself introduced himself at Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, Sheol Tzeitira, the God that just took you out of Egypt 49 days ago. Right? That everybody standing there knew who God was. They saw the miracles. As opposed to the other religions, they weren't around when we left Egypt, and they weren't around at the creation of the world, and therefore there's no difference to them. So they say, go back to creation. We saw God in history. That's the famous professor Yerushalmi He's originally Israeli. He was a professor in Columbia. He has a famous book called Zachor, where he says the greatest contribution of the people of Israel in the world is that they brought the gods, as if it were, down from the heavens, where the mythology always, we're talking about gods fighting in the heavens, they brought him down into the world to see God directing our lives, that we can speak with God, helping the Jewish people, giving us rain, speaking to man in prophecy, right? A God that is seen in the world. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. The light of the future is seen through the in the present through the people of Israel, through the miracles, so that you see, the world doesn't just run on a base seven, on a base of the laws of nature. There is this a light, this miraculous element.
The Chet HaEgel, the less you see God's presence in your life, the more you feel driven to make a physical representation of Him. And when you have Him really acting in your life, you don't need the physical representation.
Okay. That's mamash connected with what Rav Kook is going to say now. Okay. Okay, HaShabbat, therefore, when we talk about Shabbat, Shabbat is the number 7, okay, the complete cycle of the week. Himur kevet im hekef hazman hahove hamatmid. The idea of Shabbat is, like we said last time, the idea of chinuch. Chinuch is the hove matmid. It's the present, which is, how did you say it last night? You said it nice, the eternal present, okay? Which is always mitchadesh, which is always being renewed, eternal renewal.
Last time.
Okay, that's the idea of Shabbat, eternal renewal. Every week there's a new Parshat HaShavua, there's a new Dvar Torah, there's a new Hitchadshut. That's part of the idea of Shabbat, where you finish a week, you're ready to begin a new week of creation, Havdalah, starting with fire, with Sheshe Yimei Maaseh, etc., etc. Okay. HaShabbat hi murkevet im hekef hazman hove hamatmid. Shabbat is comprised of that idea of the present and the renewal, which is 7, as opposed to the 8, which has its eye on the future. V'romez liyom shekulo Shabbat umnucha u'kdusha. But Shabbat also alludes to the future, which we look forward, as we say in benching, liyom shekulo Shabbat umnucha, to the day where it will be full-time Shabbat. What is full-time Shabbat? Shabbat plus, which is like Hanukkah. Okay? Lahorot shebe'etzem hazman ha'hoveh, roshem hazman ha'atid, roshem hazman ha'atid, hu kvar muchan u'muchash. So that even that dream, the light, the strong light, future of the light, already is found in the present. Muchan, umuchash, which is the same mivneh as chanuch, chanukah. That it's already there milchatchila. In other words, yes, Shabbat is constant renewal, and the stress is on the present. But we do mention every Shabbat that we're dreaming of the future Shabbat. And that future Shabbat is placed in the potential of the Shabbat, milchatchila. Hayivanim, now we're getting to the Greeks. What does this have to do with the Greeks and the combat with them? Hayivanim omnam bikshu lesamot oro shel olam. The Greeks tried to darken the eye, the light of the world. What does it mean, darken? Hichshichu enehem shel Yisrael. The term in Hebrew, to darken one's eyes, it means to hurt them, to torture them, to harm them. But here Rav Kook is also talking figuratively, because that's our topic, talking about the future light. Umil'u et ha'olam pachazut volulut. The Greeks put the stress on eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. The idea of free sex, walking around naked, the physical strength of the body, the Olympics, everything is the here and the now, in the present, the hoveh, which is a problem for us Jews because we are eternal. And we know we always have our eye, as we said before, on the future light, on the Yom Shekulo Shabbat.
The Greeks was the tales of heroes, that in other words, you are going to die. The only thing that's going to last after you is the great things that you did while you were alive. Oh. Therefore, you have to be a hero now, and then do great things so that
be a hero in this world.
So that people will tell stories about you after you're gone.
So they'll tell stories about you in this world. But again, everything is in this world. Al yesod ha'ikar sheli kichyat ziyur hazman ha'oveh. Right, with the stress being put on the present, on this world, below shum te'uda ba'atid, without any kind of mission or meaning of a future world, that's the Greeks. Ad shigarmu la'ashpia ala katot ha'ra'ot shiyatsu mikirbenu le'mur ein olam ela echad. Rav Kook is referring to the Gemara Masechet Brachot, where the Tzedukim, who were known to be Hellenists, they were strongly influenced by the Greeks, they didn't believe in the world to come. They were, in general, very physical-oriented. They were the wealthy, the upper class, and they had a good in this world, and they didn't talk or believe about the world to come. Lemur ein olam ela echad. They said there is only one world. V'sha'avuram tiknu b'migdash lemur min olam v'ad olam. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot says that originally, when in the Beit HaMikdash, when they would say a bracha, they wouldn't answer amen. They would answer min ha'olam, right? For the world, or from the world, I guess would be a... But when this problem, this machloket with the Hellenists, with the Tzedukim, that they didn't believe that there's just one world, and they said, look, we just say min ha'olam. The rabbis started, in order to sharpen the point that we do believe in the world to come, in the future, or not just in the Shabbat of seven, but in that eighth, the seven plus light, the Yom Shekulo Shabbat, they instituted from now on to say, Min Olam Ve'ad Ha'olam, that we bless God in this world and also in the world to come, that there are two worlds. Klomar. And here, of course, is dealing with the obvious question. If there always was a world to come, why don't we mention it L'chadchila? Why did we wait for the Tzedukim to raise the problem that there are these Jews who just believe in this world? I mean, if we always believed in two worlds, why don't we say that originally? Klomar b'shash hazmanim metukanim, when things are running properly, ve'inei ha'seichel bihirot, and there is light, the seichel, the logic, is enlightened and thinks clearly, dai ba'amira achat. It's enough just to say min ha'olam. You don't have to say from this world and the next world. Why? V'atid kvar nishkaf. This world is so godly and so connected with eternity that there can't be any end to eternity. And in fact, when we talk about the world to come, it's really a continuation of this world. There is one world, this world and the next world. But it's really one, because one is a continuation. If you can taste and feel eternity and godliness in this world, if you're not just living a life of eat, drink, and be merry today in the present, you're connected, and that's the ideal situation, you're connected with that 7 plus 1 even when you're in the world of Teva, even when you're in the world of 7. So that was obvious, and that's why we didn't have to mention it. Avabasher he'epilu or ha'emet. Once the Greeks started darkening the truth, ra'ui la'amid mifurash et ha'ti'uda shel ha'atid. That's in, it's worthy, it's justified to sharpen the point that yes, we do believe in the world to come as well. Afal pi she'einayim atrutot, even though the squinted eyes, those who don't see clearly, einan makirot oto min ha'oveh, they look at the present and they see a physical world. They can't imagine a world to come, a paradise, a Gan Eden, olam haneshamot. Mikom makom, dvar Elokenu yakum le'olam. What Rav Kook is saying is that when this world is spiritual, you don't need to talk about the spiritual world of the souls. But in a time where the Greeks talk about this world as physical, and there's no such thing as spirituality, that's when you really have to talk about, there's so much spirituality that there's a world which is 100% spiritual. And this should ring a bell of something which we learned a couple years ago. And we learned in an Orot, but it's even more explicit in the Igrot, in the letters of Rav Kook. In Orot, it's on page 110. In the letters of Rav Kook, it's page 134. The famous question of the historians or Bible critics that ask, why isn't Olam Haba mentioned more explicitly in the Torah? Chazal say, Masechet Sanhedrin, that anybody who doesn't believe that Olam Haba is explicit in the Torah has no share in Olam Haba, has no share in the world to come. That statement infers that there were people who looked in the Torah and say, well, I don't see it here.
Who still believes in it?
Maybe some believe, maybe they didn't believe. But the question that Rav Kook is dealing with, and this historians say, well, the Jewish people originally didn't believe in the world to come, and this was just a Persian influence from the time of when we were in Galut in Persia. That's the way they say it. And from, that's why in the from the books of the second Beit HaMikdash, right, Ezra and Nehemiah, there it's more explicit. The way Rav Kook explains it is very beautiful. Shayesoda individuali lo yuchal leolam.
Which number Yeret is that?
This is page 134, Igeret Kufyud. He says that the rabbis already talk about the idea that olam haba, the world to come, the spiritual world without the body to come, that is mentioned more explicitly in the later day books. The question is why? Shayesod ha-individuali lo yuchal la'olam liyot nishmat legamre mikoruach kabir uklali. The idea of the individual, even in a world where the stress is on the collective, on the national, on the altruistic, on the giving, not on the selfish, it is true that the individual who is great does have a large or larger share in the world to come, heaven and hell, based on his individual actions. Right? Even though the stress in Judaism, as is clear from the Torah, in Parshat Bechukotai, Parshat Ki Tavo, that the reward and punishment, which is mentioned, stressed in the Torah, is that there will be rain in the land of Israel, there will be peace in the land of Israel, that the Jewish people will have not have a problem conceiving children, and will be victorious if there are wars, and everything is physical. Rav Kook says that is what the Torah is trying to educate us, that what's supposed to preoccupy us is not my money, or my house, or what I'm going to wear, or what I'm going to do, my selfish interests. But what's supposed to preoccupy a Jew is the nation of Israel, the collective, his family, his nation, the world. Ela shaklaliyut mitgaberetu einenu nikar kol kach veino bolet. As long as the klaliyut, the collective, was stressed during the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, well, what preoccupied us was we had a land, we had an army, we had foreign policies, we had internal policies, everything. We had an olam hazeh, a present, but which wasn't a selfish, hedonistic present, but it was a national present. Which we mentioned before, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said it so beautifully, that my friends, Gashmiut is my ruchniut, right? That I want my friend to have it, what to eat and what to drink and to have money. When I worry about his physical well-being, that's my spirituality. And that is the type of spirituality that's supposed to preoccupy us. That same altruism with which God created the world, as the Ramchal in Da'at Tfunot says, we spoke about this, why did God create the world? Oh, he's perfect, he didn't need anything. Explains the Ramchal, altruism. Olam chesed yibaneh. God created the world in order to give. But chesed shelemet, like a chevra kadisha. When the chevra kadisha does a tara to purify, prepare a person for burial, they don't get anything in return. God, when he created the world, created it altruistically, which means that he gave even though he wasn't lacking anything beforehand. That's an altruistic giving. Now, if the role of man is to be godly, that means we're supposed to be altruistic, which means that what should preoccupy me is the goodness of the nation, of the collective, of the other guy. And that's what did preoccupy us. And that's what the Torah is trying to educate us during the Bracha and Klala, that what should preoccupy us? That there be rain in the land of Israel. That's not a physical preoccupation. That's a spiritual preoccupation. So too, regarding spirituality, what is supposed to preoccupy us is not even my Olam Haba. A person's personal share in the world to come, that's not supposed to interest him. And that's why there's no bracha for it in Shmona Esrei. Even the bracha for Tchiyat HaMetim, it's not in Bakasha, it's in Shevach. That's not one of the things that we ask for. It's one of the things that we praise God for, but we ask Him for health in this world. Well, and
even Tchiyat HaMetim is not Olam Haba. Tchiyat HaMetim is the
it's the return to the physical.
That's not a bakasha.
Al ken b'shkiyat shemesh ha'uma b'ruach ge'ona nikva limudim shel chativat ha'prat shel kol ishiyut pratit biyoter harchava v'yoter pirsum v'ze hichriach memela litametz legalot kama sodot pnimiim me'avar haruchani shel amtziut ha'muchletet harchava me'od. In other words, we always believed in the world to come, but we only had to reveal the secrets and start talking about it a lot when man started becoming more self-centered. When we went to Galut, and there's no more Jewish army, and the Jew doesn't serve in the Polish or the Russian army, and the Jew doesn't work the Polish and Russian land, and even if he does, if there's a drought, he moves to Germany, he moves to America, because it's not his land, it's not his ruchniut or gashmiut, it's not his nation. When man started becoming more self-oriented, when we went to Galut, then we had to start talking him in the language of schar v'onesh, of reward and punishment for the individual. Are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? And that's why to this day, many children, if you ask them what is the reward or punishment if a person does mitzvot, they'll talk about heaven and hell, even in kindergarten. But the Torah doesn't talk about that. The Torah, that's the beautiful mashal. Rav Kook says, as long as the sun is shining, you don't see the light of the stars. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, and we have the godliness in our army, and in our economy, and in our fruit, and in our everyday physical actions, where the land, and the rocks, and the fruit are holy, and the army is holy, and the money is holy, and Yerushalayim is holy, and the politics are holy, and the people are holy, and the language is holy, and everything is holy. When everything is shining with that godly eternity, you don't need to talk about stars. During the day when the sun is shining, you don't see the stars. Only when we went to Galut, and the sun of Israel, the sun of seeing God through prophecy and through supernatural miracles, there's no more sun in Galut. That's when we started talking about the world to come. That's when we started talking about the smaller lights, the lights of the stars, the lights of Olam Haba, the world to come. And so we'll get to that. So the Greeks, who didn't believe in the great light, they were talking only about here and now in the physical world. They didn't believe in the world to come. And that's why we need to talk about the eight already on Chanukah, through the lights, which is a shining of the future light in the hoveh, in the present.
The tzedukim were after the Hashmonaim defeated the Greeks, and the thing was that the culture and the philosophy was an idea that was still around, and it's also in the Kuzari. The philosopher is apparently refuted, but he comes back from the side all kinds of different ways.
The part of the sad part of Bayit Sheni was that the Maccabean dynasty themselves, some of the kings became Hellenists. And they give in to the darkness. Okay? How do we know about the great future? Because the people of Israel have prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is about the future. And here Rav Kook is connecting, what is the relationship between the past, the present, and the future? The past has built into it the potential of the great future. What is the present? The present we see through the history and the prophecy of Am Yisrael, the prophecy which talks about the future, and the history which we see in the present, right? The Six-Day War, and the War of Independence, and Entebbe, and the miracle of the revival of the land of Israel, all of these, the miracles, the pele of Am Yisrael in the present, together with the light that we have, the eye contact with the future, you need both. You need also the Al HaNisim, which is the Jewish history in the present, and you also need the light of the future, that number 8, which is above the 7. Ukvaranu yodima tu'udat ha'atid al pi ha'nevua, nachlatan shel Yisrael. Right, we see greatness in Israel in the present, but that's a small light of greatness. The great greatness is the future. That's the prophecy. Vehi lanu mevureret gam be'et ha'choshech. Even during times of darkness, when things are bad, like during the times of the Greeks, shelo yira'e le'inei basar ba'ofen muchash koach ha'atid mitoch ha'oveh. You don't always see al hanisim in the present. There are times when there is darkness. That's why we need prophecies to tell us, don't worry, it'll be okay. And at the end of the galut, there will be a redemption, etc., etc. In other words, we're talking about the two aspects which are special in Am Yisrael, which really work together. There's the aspect of the prophecy regarding the future, and there's the aspect of the present, the Jewish history, where we see God revealed in the present. Kishem shedai ba'amira achat min ha'olam l'chlo k'mochen et ha'atid b'zman ha'bahir v'ha'meir. Like we said, when things are in their ideal form, it's enough to say from the world, and everybody knows that you're referring to this world and the next world. That's when Judaism is healthy and normal. Ken dai b'chanukah shel shiva yamim shekolel ha'ekef ha'zmani ha'hoveh. Right? In the past, near Rav Kook is making a beautiful diuk. When we built the Beit HaMikdash, how many days of Miluim were there? 7. When we dedicated the Beit HaMikdash in the time of Shlomo, how many days were there? 7. Why not 8? And why Pitom, during the time of the Maccabees, we need 8 days of dedication? Davka, because it was a time of darkness. When it's a time of darkness, that's when you have to talk about the future light. Which does see the light in the present, right? The Maccabees were celebrating Al HaNisim in Jewish history, in something that just happened. Kvar nichlal ha-shabbat, harumez umechin liyom shekulo shabbat. But they didn't just celebrate for 7 days, like Moshe and Shlomo did, but they celebrated for 8, to have that eye on the future. Aval le'et ha-yirida shegarmo yevanim ha-hulalim. And there won't be any more idolatry. In other words, the idea of focusing, over-focusing on the here and the now and the self-pleasure and the hedonism and just this world, all of that, people will mature and realize that there is a world to come. There is spirituality. Hayad darush lichazek et hatzipiya ikarit ha-yisraelit shelo titkametz gam hi ba'oveh. That's why the Maccabees established the holiday 8 days, that we shouldn't just focus in the present. Even though there was what to celebrate in the present. That's the Al HaNisim, that's the history, that's the niflaot. Remember, during the time of the Maccabees, there wasn't prophecy. What do you do when there's no prophecy? You fall back on the previous prophecies. Klomar yom echad ha'odif ale hekef hanahug ba'oveh. One day above the natural cycle of seven. Lahorot befoal shekol megamotenu yigalu ve'yetzu lepoalan rak ba'atid. To know that even though there still is a little darkness, despite the fact that there is a victory, this isn't it. It's going to be even greater. The light is going to be greater. It's going to be 7 plus 1. Sheyetzei hazman bichlalo midei shifluto. And again, remember what Rav Kook said last time? That's why it's called Chanukah. Chanukah, which is dedicated in the past. That it had that number 8, that Yom Shekulo Shabbat, already built in. Ve'olam yirapeh mi'ivrono. The world will be healed from its darkness, from its blindness. Ve'ra'otav, and its evil, aklaliot ve'apratiot. Also on the national level, also on the individual level. Shehu migamatan shel Yisrael utudat rosh hamikdash. That is the whole job of Israel. If it were not for Israel, man would be living in the here and the now. They wouldn't see God in history in the present. They wouldn't see God in the future. Prophecies. Without Israel, there's no prophecy and there's no God in history. And they say that is the job of Am Yisrael. To show the light, again, the lights of Chanukah in the Mikdash. Al kein, therefore, Rav Kook goes back to the Gemara, Yomei de Chanukah tamnia inun. The days of Chanukah are 8. What does that mean, 8? As opposed to the usual 7. Ka'omer mefurash min ha'olam ad ha'olam. Just like during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, they added on that min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. That extra, that even though you might not see it in this world, there is the next world. So too, just like you might not see that plus one, we talk about it already here in the 7 plus 1. So Rav Kook is beautifully explaining also the side of the number 8, and also the connecting it with the lights.
The excess of the 7 is the excess of the 7.